Serena in Wonky Land. An equalist with an unusual life mixes it up with diverse interviews, games, and music while sharing her unique perspective and vast information in her endearing, mischievous way.
So I'm here with my first guest, Alem Orion. And he is started the third National Animal Rights Day. And it started in New York 3 years ago. And he has now brought it here to L.A. So hi.
Hi.
So we're going to start just like, tell me about you. Like, where were you born?
I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, believe it or not.
Okay.
But I grew up in Israel and I came back to the States in 2000.
You went to school in Israel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did the whole thing, high school, army, university, and then I came here in 2000 to study acting. I was, you know, pretty old by then, but I decided to kind of start all over and go to acting school with a bunch of 19-year-olds.
Okay.
And I did that and graduated and then started working as an actor.
Okay, and that was in New York, right?
That was in New York, yeah.
Okay. So where'd you go? What school did you go to in New York for acting?
Yeah, I went to the Lee Strasberg Theater and Film Institute.
Okay.
Kind of a famous school. And then I also went to another one called the Stella Adler Studio of Acting.
Okay. Yeah. When I was younger, because I'm into acting too. That's my thing. Yeah.
Cool.
So I had always wanted to go to the Lee Strasberg. So that's really cool. You've been acting then also. I saw on your website that you just do pretty much like every. You're like a jack of all trades. You have acting and directing and music and photography and writing and. So,
yeah, just you know, from an early age, I like to do all these, and I guess that's maybe one of my kind of issues that I haven't focused on only one thing, because maybe by now it could have been, I don't know, Steven Spielberg, but I just, you know, I started in Israel in film school, and then I decided, oh, I actually like being in front of the cameras as well, and maybe even more, so I went into acting, and then I also had a band and played music, and then in 2005... some of my photos that I took early on somehow, don't ask me how, found their way to a gallery in Berlin. So I had an exhibition of photos in Berlin.
Oh.
And then I said, oh, I'm a photographer as well.
That's cool. No, I can relate because that's kind of my problem where, like, I should have been something already. And I just have so many interests that I can't focus, which is kind of why I'm doing this show now. So that it's like, since I'm not doing anything, why don't I help others who are doing something get it out there?
Oh, that's good karma. That actually helps you get what you want to do.
I'm hoping it gets me off my ass, you know?
Okay.
Like, does that. And so, and what bands were you in?
So I had a band that I started in Israel. We called ourselves The Historians. And then I moved to New York. My co-founder in the band moved to Amsterdam. And then for a few years, we didn't even keep in touch. And then in 2009, I called him up, and we decided to kind of reunite the band. So I went to Amsterdam. We recorded some more demos. It's pretty hard because he's married. He has 4 kids. He lives in Amsterdam, but we're still trying to figure out how to keep it going.
Yeah, with you here and him there, that's
yeah.
Well, these days
I'll tell you later. I mean, we did participate in a project called the Beatles Complete on Ukulele, which is a big music producer in New York. Decided to gather artists basically from all over the world to record cover songs to all the Beatles songs and kind of plunge a little ukulele here and there in each one of these songs. So it started as a joke, kind of a joke, but turned into a really serious project. And for this project, me and Noam, my buddy in the band, literally recorded the song, me here, him in Amsterdam. We sent each other the tracks and we kind of built the song on the computer. So actually, nowadays, yeah, music can be even done all over the globe, like from different locations.
Yeah, so you could have a virtual band now.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So very cool. And in a little bit, we're going to play one of your songs, so that'll be cool, so people can hear that. And so another thing that's one of the reasons I really wanted to have you and Brendan Dina on today was because you are vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you start with that?
I always loved animals. In Israel, I don't know if you know, there's almost like a big, I don't know how, if I want to call it pandemic, epidemic, I don't know the word, but there's a big problem with of cats everywhere in the streets.
Of cats?
Cats, yeah. There's literally, there's more cats than people, like in cities like Tel Aviv or where I grew up in Haifa. There's maybe 3 cats per each person. There's just cats everywhere in the yard, you know, between the houses. And it's a big problem because, you know, a lot of them, they starve to death. A lot of them get run over by cars. And, and Israel is actually pretty progressive because each of these, you know, municipalities, they have a program to spay and neuter for free all these animals. But still, they keep on, you know, procreating. And but anyway, I always loved animals. I always, you know, took care of these cats, fed them and all that ever since I was kind of a kid. But I never made the connection between these animals and farm animals or other animals. So my family, we ate meat, and I ate meat as well.
Isn't it the weirdest, like, how we do that? Because I lived with fish. I mean, I had, you know, little fish in my little, in the tank, and yet I was sitting there eating fish, you know, like right in front of them. Like, it's like so weird how we don't put the two together.
Yeah, you know, I mean, even though my mom is from a kibbutz, which is kind of an agricultural, you know, settlement, we have in Israel. I actually never seen a pig or a cow, literally in my eyes before coming here. So I, you know, a cow or a pig was always this piece of meat on my plate. Right. I never seen the actual animal looking me in the eyes, breathing. You know, so I only saw cats and dogs, mostly cats, and I love cats. Of course, I wouldn't eat a cat.
Right.
But it was kind of compartmentalized. Mm-hmm. You know, pets are pets, and other animals, which I had never seen in person, are just food. And but that changed and when I moved to the States, of course the cats problem was gone, because at least in New York I didn't see any cats for like 7 years, or any animal whatsoever, except a few rats, which I tried to feed as well.
I love rats.
But then, you know, at some point, actually I was shown a pamphlet by a great organization called Vegan Outreach.
Yes, they're good.
The amazing pamphlet that is basically called Why Vegan, and it just gives you the facts, you know, how we raise animals, how we treat them, how we kill them. And for the first time, I saw pictures of how pigs and cows are raised in what we call factory farms, how they're killed in slaughterhouses, and it just blew my mind. I mean, I couldn't keep on eating animals after that. And I was also influenced by I was studying Indian philosophy at Vedanta in New York with an Indian teacher, and he literally, maybe he was the first one who gave me the pamphlet, I'm not sure, but he said, are you willing, just for the sake of the pleasure of your taste buds, to cause so much suffering to other living beings? And that sentence struck a chord with me, and I put this and the pamphlet, you know, one and one or two and two together, and I just realized, wow, I don't care if I get sick, if I am not well, but I'm not willing to participate in torturing other beings anymore. And the next day, I became vegetarian. And I wasn't at that time aware of the, you know, horrors of the dairy industry as well. So I thought, oh, at least I'm not eating animals. And then a few years later, again, I was introduced to information, videos, and leaflets that taught me how, you know, what's wrong with the dairy industry. And that's when I made the transition to stop eating, you know, dairy and eggs as well.
Right. Yeah, I think that was my progress too. It took me, I started at 13.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I happened to meet some, these two girls who told me vegetarian. I was like, what? Wait, what? You don't, wait a minute. And it just, all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute. I always say I like it. I love animals. You know, other non-human animals, but I'm sitting there eating them, and then it never clicked until they said vegetarian, and I was like, what is that? And they're like, well, we don't eat other species. And I was like, oh, okay, I think that works. I think that's who I am. But it's funny how, dairy didn't even come into play, because you always hear the word, like, dairy cow, and people believe that there are cows that are only there to milk.
Right.
And you don't realize that, no, they're being raped every day, and they're being pumped with the stuff. And so, it took me, from 13, just every, like, I would just find out things. And, oh, eggs. Wait a minute. Eggs. I just thought that they just gave them to us, you know? Like, yeah. I thought they were just leftovers. But you start to find out things. And so it took me until 25, and that's 25 is when I finally got all the clues yeah. and well, knocked everything off. So
much, much faster than it took me.
Huh?
I'm saying that's impressive. It's, it took me, I was, I don't know if I should say that, but I was much older when I did.
Ah, say your age. I'll say it. I'm 41. Come on, say the age.
You're 41?
I'm 41.
No, you're not.
Yes. Why does everyone say that?
You're not 41.
I so am. It's because I'm vegan, see?
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So now you have to say your age. It's only fair. Well, I just outed myself.
Let's say I'm 20 plus minus.
Wait a minute. Now that makes me really
minus
old.
A few decades.
Okay. But when did you start? Like, how old were you when you first started?
Well, literally, that was, I'll say the year, not my age, but
okay.
I don't know, 2007?
Oh, okay.
No, 2006.
Oh, okay. So it was more recently.
I've been vegetarian for 8 years. So that's 2005.
And the thing is, like, you know, you had said, and you didn't care if, you know, you weren't healthy, you know, you didn't feel good or whatever, but, you know, about, like, if you, when you made the change, because they always make it sound like once you start eating vegan, you're not going to be healthy because you're not going to get protein and all this.
Right.
But I don't know about you, but I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine, too. And, you know, my doctor told me, yeah, you're probably healthier than most people. Mm-hmm. But I asked him, hey, am I missing this? Am I missing that? Because, you know, you're probably better than most people, but at that point, you know, I really did it for out of ethical reasons, and
right.
I almost didn't care. I mean, I knew I'm going to be fine, but I said, you know what, I don't care if I get, I don't know, sick a little bit here and there because I'm not eating animals, but I'm not willing to, I don't think my health is more important than the lives of countless beings, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I always say I'm not vegan for my health, I'm vegan for other species' health.
Right, I'm not willing to kill any living being. I don't kill flies or even mosquitoes or anything. I'm not willing to kill any living being.
Yeah, yeah. I have a cup that just sits by my door, and whenever I see any, I put them in the cup and I put them outside just so my Lily, because my Lily is a cat, and I don't want her. You know.
Exactly. I have to save all these from my cat because he sees a fly, he jumps on it right away and tries to eat it, and I have to. Save them from him and throw them out.
Yeah, I always yell at Lily. I'm like, hello, no kill roll. Because Lily, my Lily's vegan.
Really?
Yes.
Your cat is vegan?
Yes, it took me a year. I did it slowly. And she, for the last 3 months, she's vegan. And the last vet appointment I had, the vet said that she actually was getting too much protein.
Wow. So what do you feed her?
I use, if you go to Eco Dogs and Cats, I think, think.com, like online, you can find them. They sell all vegan products, and it's actually bags. There's two different brands. Oh, one is Evolution that I switched over to another, which I can't think of the name. It's like bags of cat food, and they also have cans, and it's got all of the, like, it's got all the nutritional values that is, like, recommended for all, you know, animal meat cat food.
Yeah.
And it's got the same, it's I think the AAFCO or something like that has given it it's okay or whatever that label is.
Not the FDA seal.
No. No, it's the cat food. It's just saying that it's got all the right levels because basically cats just need taurine. That's their big thing. And protein, you know, people always say, but cats need the animal protein. Well, please tell me a cat that ever looked at it, that killed a cow and ate it. Cats don't eat cows. Cats don't eat fish. Cats don't eat turkey. You know what I mean? Like, you're not seeing cats going and killing them. So, no, it's not true. Cats don't eat those animals. So why are you feeding them that?
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, Lily's doing fine. She hasn't lost, I mean, she's not, like, losing weight. She's still my little heavy cat, and she's doing awesome. So
well, my cat needs to lose a little weight.
So does mine.
It might be good for him.
So let's get to the event that you're doing. The third National Animal Rights Day.
Mm-hmm.
And for your acting, though, I want to give out your website. for your acting before we move on to that. So if you are interested in checking out his website for any of the stuff we talked about, you go to www.alamorion, which is alamorion.com.
Right. So that first name ends with an M, like Mary, Alam, and then second name ends with an N, like Nancy. So alamorion.com. Especially if you're a big, Hollywood producer, studio head, give me a call, please.
And then when they call you, then you'll call me, and then you'll give them my name so that I can get in that movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. So the event. So tell us, what made you decide to start this and how all that happened.
So, living in New York, I left Israel with the big cats problem and all the horrors I've seen, cats being killed every day and stuff like that. And then for a few years, I didn't see any animals, and I kind of almost, focused on my studies and all that. And then, karma or fate brought me back to the animal rights kind of movement, and I somehow found people and, leafleting in the streets, and then all of a sudden I noticed, wow, that actually there are animals in this town, and there's a movement, and there's activism, and there's horrors, and there's stuff to take care of. And so for a few years I kind of tried to find my way, what can I contribute, leafleting, talking to people, going to demos, and I just felt none of it was really using my skills, and I felt none of it was really effective for me, just giving a leaflet here and there. And I felt I want to do a much greater effect and in a less time and reaching more people. So I was still looking around and kind of volunteering for different groups here and there. And then in 2010, I went to the Cannes Film Festival with a short film that I made. And on the way back, I traveled through Spain and I happened to be in Madrid. And I see a group of people standing in a row in the middle of like a big square in Madrid. And they're just standing there silently. And some of them had laptops hanging on their bodies. They have this nice little bag that carries a laptop. And they just played films about pigs and pig farms in Spain. And that blew me away. And that, of course, was Igualdad Animal, the amazing Spanish group that literally revolutionized the animal rights movement on the planet. So I was standing there and I started crying. And that really, gave me a punch in my stomach. And I went to talk to them and learned who they are and said, listen, guys, I want to do the same thing. I want to collaborate with you. Originally, I wanted to start a branch of theirs in New York, and they kind of said, no, we're not interested.
Oh, for
their own reasons. But I decided, okay, video activism, just standing in public and not shouting at anybody, not pointing the finger at the public, but just standing and letting the public come to you. So you just stand there, you just show the reality, you show pictures and videos of this truth that me and you became aware of late in life, and most people are not aware of. And giving people the space, the emotional space and physical space to engage with it if they want, stop and watch, and then come to you. So it's not like in your face, and it's not shouting at anybody and not chanting slogans or anything. It's silent, and it's very respectful, and they're just standing there, and they let people come to them. So I that kind of, that was it for me. And I came back to the U.S., and I gathered some of these people that I met in all the demos, and pitched the idea, and we did it a few months later. We did a similar demo in Union Square. We had, 15 people, and we stood there. We pretty quickly realized that laptops don't work for New York City for some reason, that the spaces are just too big, and people just don't care. So we brought a big ass you'll cover that with a beep, right? The word.
Oh no,
right?
You can say ass. Ass, ass, ass.
Am I allowed
ass.
To say the F word?
You can say fuck. You can say whatever you want. This is the internet, baby.
God damn it, the fucking. Okay. So we brought a big TV and we kind of powered it with, I don't know, I remember how we found electricity. We stole electricity from somewhere. And we brought a big TV and played, little films like Meet Your Meat, by Peter Film, which is really great.
Yeah.
Narrated by Alec Baldwin, and something about his voice really captures people. And lo and behold, and also we made posters showing different animals, a calf, a baby goat, chicken, each one of them in confinement or really being, distressed, tortured, almost about to be killed. And we just stood there with these holding these posters on our body and showing the videos on the TV, and of course we gave leaflets and all that, and that was really effective, and we felt we were doing something, and so we started doing these demos, and after like a year, I realized, okay, time to up the action, and there's so many animal rights groups in New York City, and they rarely talk to each other, and they rarely collaborate. Most of them don't.
Yeah.
And I just decided, okay, look at Spain. They get 300 people to come to the city square to do this, on the International Animal Rights Day. They do this big event when they stand there again silently, but they hold dead animals, which we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But I said, how can they do it? Look how they collaborate. And I know I realized later it's a matter of culture. I think, America is all about the individual. Europe or Israel, socialist countries are more about groups and collaboration and community and all that.
You don't get the numbers that you, like when I see things in Italy and all that, I'm like, oh my God, we can barely get 10 people here.
I know, there's something about the culture there that is just conducive to doing that. But
We're lazy and selfish here?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. I said we're lazy and selfish here?
No, I think this is the country of the individual. So every individual, including myself, starts their own group and doesn't want to do this or that and try to do it on their own. And there's no real culture of collaboration or, collective.
I think I decided
to try to do it, and I spoke to all the heads of the different animal rights groups in New York. That was 2011, and we had a few meetings, and we decided, let's do one day where we all work together. We looked for a name. We decided, let's call it the National Animal Rights Day, even though, I wasn't crazy about the name, but that was the best we could find, and that captures what we want to do. And over a period of 5 months, we met and deliberated and talked and blah, blah, blah. And eventually what happened is that, again, most groups dropped out because they only wanted to do this, they only wanted to do that, they only wanted to showcase their kind of animal, only horses or only cows or only farm animals. So I learned really quickly that, again, what I'm saying, that there's no culture of collaboration, everybody wants to do their own thing. We did the day eventually. It was very nice, very successful, but it was produced at the end by only like 3 people, myself and a lady called Zelda and a few other people that helped. But it was successful. It was nice. It was the first National Animal Rights Day.
And how many people came to that?
Yeah, people came, and we started it. We found a good format that worked. We start with a requiem ceremony, kind of like the Igualdad Animal ceremony, but without real dead animals. But a requiem ceremony, very dignified and respectful, paying, homage, tribute, paying respect to all the billions of animals that are killed every year by human hands. And then we wrote the Declaration of Animal Rights. We based it on a few old texts that existed, but we updated them, because the old texts even included, if you have to kill an animal, you should do it humanely, and we took that bullshit out.
I hate the word humanely.
Right. No, we took any killing from it out.
Okay,
killing.
Good.
There's no reason to kill an animal. Like, mm-hmm. There's no reason to kill a person. So we updated it.
All just animals.
Right. So we wrote it on a big scroll of paper, and we read it after the ceremony, so that was pretty empowering. And then we found out that people cried, and people went through this emotional kind of journey, and then we found out, okay, after that, we want to show the other side, which is the hope, the small steps that are being made every year towards a more compassionate world and towards a plant-based world. So we want to showcase that as well. So we had a little mini festival with vegan food and tables and information and artists and speakers and singers, and that really worked well. So we did it in the same format last year, but we learned the lesson, so we invited everybody. Oh, the first year we had 30 organizations coming with a table of their own. So we really opened the stage for everybody to come, whoever wanted to come for free and showcase their activism, which was good. The second year we just did it as a small group, but again, everybody was invited. It was even more successful. And now for the third year, we're really going national, because I, in the meantime, moved from New York City to L.A. So this year it's happening on June 9th, both in New York and in L.A.
And who's doing the one in... since you're here, who's taking over the one in New York? Are you still part of it?
My group is called officially Our Planet, Theirs Too.
Okay.
So I have my colleagues that I did the event with in New York. They're they're doing it in New York. Rena Deitch and Jamie Lee are coordinating it, and a larger group of volunteers, you know, help them.
And it'll happen on the same day we do it here in L.A.?
Yeah, June 9th, at the same time, 12 to 5. Their event is in Union Square, New York City. Our event is on Santa Monica Beach. And for our event in L.A., we're actually really replicating what Igual.Animal does once a year, which is we're going to do our opening ceremony with holding real dead animals that died as a result of human actions and greed and the whole system.
And so we should probably just talk a little bit about that, only because I know, like, when I first heard it, I was a little like, wait, what? Because I just didn't know exactly how it was going to be done, if they were going to be used as props or what it was. And after talking to you, it changed my mind. And I realized, oh, wait, this is a respect thing. This is actually a beautiful thing. So I want you to, maybe if you can kind of explain it in, like, where you're getting them from, like, just the... and what the how it's going to be done at the ceremony, so people can understand a little better.
Yeah. So, but I really recommend for people to go and Google Igualdad Animal, the national.
Can you spell that?
International.
Can you spell it so that equal dog?
It was my great Spanish. Igualdad Animal.
Okay. No, we don't know how to spell it. We got it. No.
it means literally animal rights.
Okay, so
spell... No, animal equality, sorry. Animal equality. Igualdad is equality. But it's spelled I-G-U-L-D-A-D, Igualdad, and then the word animal.
There you go.
Okay. So just Google it, and Google, you know, they have a whole website and with lots of stuff. I mean, they're very active. They're amazing. But also try to Google their videos. I think they have them on Vimeo. Their videos from the International Animal Rights Day, which they did in 2011, 2012. And then you'll really see what it's all about, how it looks like, and how dignified it is. But basically, they get, look at this, they get 400 people to come to the biggest square in Madrid.
400? Wow, I've never seen 400 in here in L.A. That would be amazing.
And they get 400 animals. They get them from dumpster, believe it or not, dumpsters where all these establishments throw these animals to the garbage. So they get 400 activists to come to the biggest square in Madrid, and they stand there in rows in a nice form, like an army formation. They all wear the same kind of outfit, which is kind of a lab, white jumper suit, kind of a lab worker or a slaughterhouse worker, and then their own black T-shirt on top. And they just... Each one gets an animal, and they hold them in their hands, you know, like you would hold a baby. Like, it's really beautiful and respectful. It's like you hold somebody dear to you that died, and right before you're about to bury them. So they stand there and hold these animals, and they have a speech. But just the visuals of it is amazing. So the media comes, and people take photos and videos, and it's very powerful because it has this message, literally what it says, the whole visual aspect of it, because there's they don't say a word. But the whole visual message says, look to people, look what we're doing as society, as humans, as human beings, as humanity. Look what we're doing to these beautiful, innocent animals. That's what this whole thing is saying. And that's what we're trying to say as well with the opening ceremony of the third National Animal Rights Day here in L.A. So the event is not just that. This is just the opening ceremony, like New York is doing an opening ceremony of their own without animals. But after the ceremony, we still have the other part of the day, which is like a mini festival with free vegan food and stuff. But for the opening ceremony, we're trying to do what they do in Spain, and hopefully we'll get a third of the amount of people they get. So just to be quickly to tell everybody without getting too much information, we're getting animals from places that handle animals or keep animals, and we're only getting animals for free and animals that died on their own. We're not paying anybody or, you know, encouraging anybody to kill animals for us. We're not getting animals that were killed or slaughtered. We're really just getting animals that died on their own from exhaustion or heat, unfortunately. And if they wouldn't give them to us, they would be thrown into the garbage. I don't know if I should open it up here, but this is a Holocaust, what's going on. The system, the well-oiled machine of killing, raising and slaughtering animals in this country is just amazing, because every part of these animals is used for something. Mm-hmm. Like, there's literally nothing in our lives, from food to clothes to products to medicine, that doesn't contain something.
Condoms. I can't even get a damn condom unless I have to go to Whole Foods and spend $20 because they've got animal in it.
Which condoms are vegan? Let me.
Oh,
we're at it.
Shit, I wish I had all that. But if you go to Whole Foods,
you'll show me when we meet.
I will show them, and at some point I'll try to remember. But if you type in vegan condoms online, you can find them. But yeah, I'll give you the info off the air.
You know, that's a great idea. Somebody should start a group called Vegan Sex to educate people about how to have 100% vegan sex.
Yeah, that would be good, because when I found out, I was like, damn it.
Wait, what do they put in condoms?
There's milk. I know there's milk, and...
There's milk in condoms?
Yep. Isn't that the weirdest thing?
Jesus Christ.
Yes, and there's other things I just can't remember at this moment, but there was a book called Vegan... Oh, God, I should really be more prepared. There's a book that I had read all this stuff where I found out about tattoos and tires and condoms and just everything, and it's called, I can't remember, but at some point I'll remember and say it on one of my shows.
It's called Nothing in This World is Vegan, that's what it's called.
Yes, that's what it's called.
Well, anyway, that's a sad reality, but basically we hope that it's not perceived as we're using them. We're going to hold them for 30 minutes during the ceremony, and then we're going to wrap them in white sheets and, you know, prepare them for burial, and then we're going to bury or cremate them in a very respectful way, and give them, you know, a last resting place, and everything is going to be very dignified. We're really trying to honor these animals and give them a nicer, so to say, ending than what they would get in the, you know, meat industry or any other industry. And on the same token, we hope that when the public see these animals, maybe some of them will see these animals for the first time, like chickens and other farm animals. We hope that the public will get the idea and see, again, what we as humanity are doing to billions of these animals every year just for the sake of condoms, right?
Right, exactly.
Right. So that's the idea, and, you know, I know that some people will probably have a problem with it. That's usually what happens. But, you know, we're trying our best. It's going to be very respectful.
Yeah. Well, it changed, like I said, it changed my way of thinking. And I'm actually had volunteered to be part of it. And I think if people are being judged, any type of judgmental on this will... Well, here's the thing. Every time you go to a grocery store, you're sitting there buying a package of a dead being. And if you're okay with that, then you shouldn't have a problem with us giving a respectful ceremony and funeral, in a sense. Like, it's weird that people are okay with a dead being in a grocery store wrapped up, but this wrong.
I really hope that we can change people's minds and touch them, because this whole thing is supposed to touch them viscerally, and not just, you know, just through the brain information, but viscerally. And after the ceremony, we'll take the animals for burial, and we'll have a little kind of yoga sequence, breathing transition sequence led by Charlotte Cressy, and that will ease us out. Oh, sorry. At the end of the ceremony, we'll unveil the Declaration of Animal Rights that I brought with me from New York. It's by now 60 foot long. It has hundreds of signatures of people from all over the country. And, of course, everybody will be invited to sign it, add their signatures to it. And after that, we will do the breathing yoga sequence, and then we'll transition to kind of a mini festival celebrating. After we're commemorating the animals and kind of mourning the sad reality, we'll transition to the mini festival that celebrates the other side of this reality, which is the major steps that are being done in this country towards a plant-based, cruelty-free nation, whether it's food or clothing or all, you know, labs shutting down and stopping experimental animals, condoms being made without animals. So we want to celebrate that as well and show the public that this happens as well. And, you know, we'll have tables with vegan food that is donated to us, and information, leaflets, and we'll have musicians and speakers,
and there's
a martial arts demo and another yoga session.
There's food too? Like, who's bringing food? Is there?
A bunch of them. I mean, Tofurky is donating food, and So Delicious donating food.
Oh, cool.
And, Chef Rashid.
Love Chef Rashid. I'm going to have him on one day.
The local chef in LA is bringing his stuff. And,
he's great.
We're going to have a lot of food. And then also we're planning a vegan fashion show.
Oh.
So really to show the public that everything can be veganized, food and clothing and condoms and all that.
Is there anything, do you have any advice for anyone really quickly? Because I'm running out of time. But do you have any advice on how to start doing, like, just a quick little thing? Like, if someone wants to start doing something like this, what is a quick advice that you would say to them? Like,
the quick advice is don't do it.
Okay.
It's terrible.
Oh, great.
No, sorry, I have to be honest here. The best advice, I mean, I hope people will join us. I mean, we want more cities in the U.S. next year to do it. And hopefully, I mean, we're serious about this. I mean, we want this to be really the national animal rights day. We want it to be celebrated all over the country one day. So already, you know, I spoke to people in different cities this year, but I just don't have time to do more than New York City and L.A. But that's the best advice. Just join us. Well, we can give you, you know, materials, and we can teach you what we know and help you. But please join us, and let's make this really a national day.
Yeah. And I think another big thing is also, I think, leave your ego at home, because I think that's what ends up hurting a lot of these things, is the human ego just gets too big, and everyone wants to do their own thing instead of joining together. So I think... To me,
You can still be part of, you know, the Denver Animal Rights group, but still join us and do this day with us, and then rest of the year do your own activities. But so it's really not about, you know, it's not about egos and who's doing what. I mean, we would like to help kind of sponsor it, because we started it, and we have the, you know, information by now and the experience. But if anybody else wants to take it on, do the animal rights, the next animal rights day in Cleveland, by all means.
And they can contact you through
on our website. So our website is www.thenard.org. So it's the word the, and then NARD, the initials of National Animal Rights Day. So www.thenard.org. And there's a contact there. I'll see it. So, yeah, contact us there.
And if you want to come to the event, it's going to be on June 9th at 12.
Sunday, June 9th.
Sunday, June 9th.
12. Yeah, the ceremony starts at 12, so please be there a little bit earlier if you want to be part of the ceremony. You don't have to hold a dead animal. We have enough people for that, but we would love for you to come and stand with us in this formation during the ceremony.
And if they want to be part of the ceremony, I think you told me to be there at 10. Is that what?
Yeah, we want, you know, if you're serious about it and want to participate with us, just because we're expecting many people, we would love for you to be there at 10 a.m. So we can give you the outfit, the jumper suit, and our black t-shirt with our design, and we can put you in the right, you know, place, and then we'll kind of rehearse, go over the whole thing, and then we'll do it. But it will be great if it could be there at 10 a.m. Then we can start at 12, and then the ceremony will be about an hour. And then from 1 until 5, we'll have the rest of the day, like we said, all the activities. But come, if you're coming for the ceremony, come at 10 a.m. Wear black, wear very light, because, again, we're going to give you an outfit to wear on top of that. And also the location, the specific location is the Santa Monica Beach, just north of the Santa Monica Pier. I think the Santa Monica Pier is the cross section of Colorado Avenue and the basically the beachfront, and this will be just north of it, on the Exxon area. You'll see us there. You won't be able to miss us. So yeah, just the Exxon area north of the pier.
And if you go to the website, then thenard.org, there, if you scroll down a little on there, there actually is a thing for the event, the Facebook event page.
So there's a link to our Facebook event page, where we post all this information is there, and we post updates there as we come closer to the event.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it. Was there anything else that you wanted to say?
Anything else I want to say? probably a million things I want to say, but I'm kind of blanking out.
Well,
right
I can
now.
Always have you back, so.
Yeah. Well, what I want to say, have safe sex, have vegan sex, and
Be nice to animals. Yes, and so now, so thank you so much for doing this, and if anything else comes up, you can always come back on.
Yay. Okay.
And so we are now going to play a song, and it is going to be actually Alim's band song. So why don't you give us a quick little intro into the song?
Yeah, so this, like I mentioned, I think I mentioned it. I don't even remember. So my virtual band did participated in this project called the Beatles Complete on Ukulele. A big music producer in New York decided to do cover all the Beatles songs using different artists and crazy, like, every kind of style of music you can think of, and really make, like, really amazing versions of the Beatles songs, and just to put a ukulele track in each one of them. So we were chosen to do the Magical Mystery Tour, the song by the Beatles, and we did it in kind of a rock, punk rock version, and so this is a song. It's Magical Mystery Tour. My band's name is Historians, and I hope you like it. By the way, you can download these songs for free. Everything is for free in this project from the website, which is BeatlesCompleteOnUkulele.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, and I hope everybody comes out to this event. I'll be there. Alim will be there, and it'll be good. So
great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
כסם המסתורי מחכה לקחת אתכם מכאן, לקחת אתכם מכאן.
לקחת אתכם מכאן. Oh,